In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Anthony's coming. He's on the way. I'm reading from John 6. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Verse 52. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and died. But the man who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. I was there at the synagogue in Capernaum. Beautiful. And we read the sixth chapter of St. John. I continue. Verse 66. Because of this, eat my flesh and drink my blood, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can I go? You have the words of eternal life." If Jesus did not mean what he said and said what he meant, he would call them back. He didn't call them back. He did not call them back. They had left mother and father, sister and brother, homes and lands, and received persecutions, but Jesus did not call them back. Why? He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. And we will know that this gives us eternal life. Do you know that Luther believed in the Eucharist? Do you know his belief was consubstantiation? Ours is transubstantiation. Transubstantiation means no longer is it bread and wine. It is completely the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consubstantiation is it is bread and wine and the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, Luther believed it. And then after Luther came these other people who denied the sixth chapter of St. John. And you know what? I think not many people break open the sixth chapter of St. John. They don't do it. They say, I can't do it because it says to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and they don't do it. Not very many people do it. It's spiritual, but it's real. Yesterday I had eaten his flesh and drunk his blood. Yes, and today, by the grace of God, I will again eat his flesh and drink his blood. Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant, and he did not call the people back. He said, go home. If you do not believe this, leave me. And he did not call them back. This is so important, so important. Verily, verily, whoever believes has eternal life. Eternal life is this, to receive the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is this, to believe in God the Father and Jesus whom he sent. We need to know that eternal life is real. I have been given eternal life at baptism. Yes. Many years ago, they asked the sponsors of the child that was being baptized, what are you searching for this child? And the answer was eternal life. Oh, yes, it happened at baptism. But baptism is like marriage. It starts one day and it continues. It's like marriage. It starts one day and it continues, just as it's supposed to. And baptism starts one day and continues until death. It is the life of grace. How we need the life of grace. How we need the body and blood of Christ. How we need the Eucharist. How we need that God would show us that he meant what he said and said what he meant. And Peter said, Jesus said, do you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is amazing. This is amazing. Peter has got no place to go. He knows that he is bankrupt without Jesus. You know what? You're bankrupt without Jesus too, and so am I.
We talking about today, Father?
Body and blood of Christ.
Perfect. Especially on the first Friday where we celebrate the Sacred Heart. Because what is the Eucharist? It's the heart of Jesus. You know, I was just watching an interview with a man who, he was blessed enough to have many, many mystical experiences. He would get to wake up and hear the voice of the Father. He had mystical encounters that, you know, that some or only the saints have had. And at the end of the interview, though, they asked him, or rather he said, you know, if I could take every mystical encounter I've ever had, every one of them, and I put them together, or I could have the option to take the Eucharist one more time, it wouldn't even be close. Said he would take the Eucharist because those mystical encounters had led him to an understanding of what the Eucharist is. The Eucharist is truly the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. You know, when we abide in him, he abides in us through the Eucharist. You know, it's very sad. Many Catholics don't have this revelation or even believe in the true presence. You know, we can receive Jesus through the Word of God. Amen. But the greatest mystery, the greatest act that's ever been given is when Jesus gave his body and blood, and it pours out on in the form of, and his flesh pours out in the Mass. You know, the Mass, the reason the Mass isn't all about praise and worship and this and that, it is. It's solemn worship. But it's about becoming ready to receive Jesus, body and blood, soul and divinity. You know, like Father Tom says, when the miracles of the Eucharist, you know, and the Eucharist fell out and they looked at the Eucharist under the microscope, it was actual heart tissue. You know, like I said, I was transformed by the Eucharist. When I first came to God, got back to God and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I got a revelation from the Lord what the Eucharist truly was. And I started receiving the Eucharist four times a day. I would just hop from Mass to Mass, and now you're not supposed to do that. And I've learned since then. But it's because once you get that supernatural revelation, which, you know, is being given to you right now, that you're actually consuming God and God is consumed within you and he stays within you. There is nothing else. You know, there's many ways to receive God, prayer, reading the word, but the Eucharist, it's it. It's it. And if you're listening right now, you're being called to the Eucharist. Whether you're Catholic and you've been away, whether you're Christian, the Eucharist is for everyone. It's available for you. It is the Holy of Holies. It's the everything.
The Eucharist was what Jesus gave us at the Last Supper. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is the blood of the covenant. Oh, yes. Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant. He didn't say, take and eat. This is like my body. No, this is my body. That's why the disciples, many of them, left him. They thought he was talking about something that they didn't even want to think about, cannibalism. But he knew that he was going to do this on the night before he died. And you know what? Peter had no idea what Jesus was talking about. He only knew that he, apart from Jesus, could not live. And you know, that's real. That's real. I hear that only 23% of Catholics believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ. I remember doing a wedding with these two people, and I had met with them, and I said, when we receive Jesus, we receive his body and blood. And the girl said, it's a symbol. Oh no, I said, it's not a symbol. I give my life for the truth of the gospel, that it is truly the body and blood of Christ. No, it's a symbol. A symbol. This is my body. This is my blood. For as often as we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. That's why it's a sacrifice. The sacrifice of Calvary. The sacrifice of Calvary. It's not another sacrifice. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim, make present, the Lord's death until he comes. The word of God says that my word will not return void. It will do exactly what I call it to do. And you know, it's real. It's real. Maybe you've been away from the Eucharist. Get to confession. We have confessions here on Saturday in the cars. Yes, many people come. The only thing you have to do is get right with God in order to receive the body and blood of Christ and be Catholic. The only thing you need to do is to be right with God. And you know, not many people are right with God. We're like cafeteria Christians. We take this because we like it, but we don't take that because we don't like it, and we take this because we like it. No, it's not cafeteria Christians. It's the whole ball game. We've got to receive the whole ball game. Body, blood, soul, and divinity.
Amen. Yeah, so I was just actually at I was at a monastery with a bunch of people that definitely do understand and believe in the true presence. I was late speeding here because after Mass, you know, I receive communion, and then they do adoration where they put Jesus in the form of communion out on the altar. And I had to do everything I could to drag myself away, because the power coming off that altar, just sitting in front of Jesus, is like nothing that can be experienced. In the glory and the praise and worship, it's amazing, and I love it. But in front of Jesus, in front of adoration, it's a different experience. It's the most pure, holy experience you can get. And you know, I finally was like, all right, I gotta go. And I asked Jesus to help me, and I got myself leaving. And you know, even driving here, it was a crazy ride, but God can do anything. You know, it was, my GPS was saying I wasn't gonna make it here till 15, 20 minutes after the show. But God is great. He's outside time and space. I pray, God, you're in me through the Eucharist. I just took you. Just get me here. Get me here in time so I can talk, so I can say these words to you. And I just prayed in tongues the whole way. And you know, God is so good. All of a sudden, the time kept going down, down, till God's timing is always perfect, till he got us there. But truly, you know, it's the greatest gift. And Jesus, we make reparations, and we're sorry for anyone who does not understand what you did for us and the gift you've given us in the Eucharist, for anyone who thinks it's just a symbol. You know, it breaks his heart that all Christians don't receive him in the Eucharist. But, you know, God uses everything to the good for who loves him, but there's always more. So today, we just pray, Lord, touch everyone with the rays of your divine mercy. Wash them and bury them in your sacred heart, where you pour out your sacred heart. You poured it out on Calvary. You pour it out in every tabernacle, in every Mass, every day, all around the world. You know, where you have made available to us your body and blood, soul and divinity, that when we abide in you, you abide in us. You know, when we consume you, we are consumed by you. Once you have the revelation of the gift of the Eucharist, and you begin to receive the Eucharist with reverence and understanding and knowledge, which is only a grace that you just pray for God to give you, your life will be changed. Even if Jesus has already changed your life, there's always more. You know, there's always more with God. In this world, you know, we run out of things. We run out of time, money, love, friends, years on our lives. But with God, there's always more, and he always wants to take you deeper. You know, we look at how the great saints lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. They lived Eucharistically. You know, we have our works, but then we have our interior life and who we are and what we do. And you know, we can go out and preach, and we should, and we pray in tongues, and you know, we do great things for the Lord, and we do great exploits. But aside from our works, there's an interior sanctification, and we can gain it supernaturally by taking the Eucharist and taking the body and blood of Christ. And he supernaturally begins to abide in us and changes everything within us. In a way similar that the Word of God does, but in an even greater way. Now, it does say in the Bible the Eucharist can also be, you know, it can be for our, let's say, downfall if we're taking it when we shouldn't be, or unrighteously as defined by the church. So take the Eucharist, adore the Eucharist, but get to confession. God just wants to wipe away your sins, and he sends you any of those things he has. He just wants to take it away. So, Lord, we just pray, give them the grace to understand all the mysteries of your kingdom today.
He didn't call them back. Why? Because he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. These were not Sunday Catholics. These were people who gave up mother, father, sister, brother, lands, and everything else. And they left Jesus. They left him. We cannot tolerate this kind of talk. What does he mean? Is he a cannibal? Peter didn't know what he was talking about either. And you know what? It all began at the Last Supper. The Last Supper. And the scripture says, as often as you do these things, do them in remembrance of me. Remembrance is not I remember. It's remembrance making present. And only the priest can do the Eucharist. Nobody can but the priest. I know somebody in Florida that gets bread. She watches the Mass on television and gets bread and wine, and she thinks it's the Eucharist. Now, only the priest can do this. This is the way it is, not anybody else. The bishop is a priest. The pope is a priest. And we need to pray for priests, especially now, because we need to pray for priests, because our numbers are going down. I know people that should be in the seminary because they love God and they're not getting married. They should be in the seminary. I remember saying something like this out loud, that you need to go into the seminary. And this guy had been fighting with it, and he went and became a priest. It was because I said, you need to go into the seminary. God has graced you with the gift of becoming a priest. And he did. He did. I never knew it until afterwards, when he was a priest, that he heard my voice and he did what I said. We need to know the Word of God also. The Word of God is not something less. It's more. The main vocation of the priest is to preach the Word of God and to celebrate the Eucharist. I want to tell you, because my back is bad, I cannot be the principal celebrant. And I miss it. I miss it. When I was in Florida, I could sit down and celebrate the Eucharist for the three or four people that we were. I miss it. I can't celebrate every day. But I do not celebrate as the celebrant. I miss it because it's my life. It's my life. When I was a little boy, I used to go to adoration. They called it 40-hour devotion. And I was there in front of the Eucharist. And I also remember going to Canada, and there were these cloistered nuns, and I was having doubts. And I said to the nun, I have a lot of doubts. Could you pray for me? They were adoring the Blessed Sacrament. They were adoring the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah, you want to talk about the power of God falling. In those private masses in Florida with Father Tom, the power of God fell. The thing is, once you experience the power of God through the Eucharist, there's no more arguing. It's all good when it's just a theory and you've been told one thing and you believe. Well, that's what you believe. But Lord, we pray that everyone gets that experiential knowledge. Because the gospel isn't preached in words, it's preached in power. God comes in power. The Eucharist comes in power. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the power of God fall on every listener as it fell when Father Tom said those masses. Because he's just wide open for the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of you are thinking, you know, it's just a religious spirit that only the priest can create the Eucharist. We all can do this. You know, God just created order. There are religious spirits. But God gave us religion. And there's good religion. And God gave us order. And order in the church. And it's actually a spirit of rebellion to not come in alignment with the way God ordained it. You know, but saying that God will use everything to the good for those who love him. God loves you very much. But today he just wants more for you. So, you know, even if you're not Catholic, taste and see if he's good. Find a church that has adoration. Go sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament today, like saints have for 1600 years. Every one of them live Eucharistically and receive graces. And taste and see Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, because he died on the cross so you could have it.
I want you to look into Google the miracle of Lanciano, L-A-N-C-I-A-N-O, the miracle of Lanciano. I want you to look it up. I want you to deal with what it's showing you. It's amazing. I'm not going to tell you about it. You've got to look it up. The miracle of Lanciano. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he open your heart to go to confession and receive the Eucharist. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.